Pastor John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. Today I'm going to finish off the last session on this Salvation Road journey that I've been taking over the last, almost a year now, I suppose. And I'd like to look at the final chapters of Revelation, the book of Revelation, because what we see here, we see it's now talking about the period after everything has been completed on this earth, after everything has been done, after the final judgment, after the resurrection, after Satan's been thrown into the lake of fire, and it tells us about what has been promised to us, what the new heaven and earth is going to be like. And that's what I want to talk about today. What is this promise? What is it that God has in store for his people? So in overview, we're going to look at the new heaven and earth and see what the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven looks like, and what this all means for us as Christians, because we're now talking about the next age, after the 1,000 years has ended and after all of the works and all of the prophecies and everything's been fulfilled in the Bible. So I'm going to look at Revelation chapter 21 and 22. So starting in Revelation 21, we said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Now, we are told in one of the earlier chapters of the Bible that he will roll up the current heavens and earth like an old garment and throw them away. We know that the universe is going to wear out. The earth is going to wear out. Stars go into supernova and everything gets destroyed. But at some point in time, God is going to say enough, and he's going to roll it all up like it's an old garment, throw it away, and create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, if you think that the current heavens and the current earth are magnificent and beautiful, and they are because they're the creation of God, but if you think that this is something magnificent, how much better will the new heavens and new earth be, where there is no sin, where there is no degradation over time, where moth and rust don't consume, and where there's no evil, where there's nothing to destroy, nothing depreciates, nothing goes away, and where everything is perfect because it's been made perfect by and through the mind and the will of God? How much better will that be? I mean, it's unimaginable what it could be like. In verse 2, we read on, it says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." This is what we're going to receive when all of this takes place. He's going to bring down the new holy city, Jerusalem, and he's going to describe that in just a moment. But he will also take away all forms of pain. Death will be no more. No mourning, no crying, no pain, no sickness, no getting old, no aging, no evil. And I'll tell you something that always strikes me as being quite funny, and you can do this for yourself. Think about all of the jobs in this world that exist that are here and will not exist in the Lord's new kingdom. Now you think about that for a moment. There'll be no politicians because Christ will be king. There'll be no police because there'll be no criminals. There'll be no lawyers because there'll be no courts. Christ is a judge. And when everyone's perfect, there'll be nothing to judge. There'll be no doctors because no one will get sick. There'll be no undertakers because no one will die. And you just continue thinking about those things. I've often actually driven down the main streets of the city that I live in and looked at all of the storefronts and thought, well, that won't exist anymore, and that won't exist anymore, and that won't exist anymore. And, you know, there'll be no things like locksmiths, no security companies, you know, all of these sorts of things. They won't exist anymore. And we can't even imagine what the things will be like. But what we do know is that there'll be no tears, there'll be no crying, there'll be no pain, there'll be no death. We won't get old. And we go on in verse 5, he says, "And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the heritage for those who come to Christ. But then he says, all of the sinners, he goes on and he says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And that was the judgment that we saw last week when I looked in Revelation 20. The final judgment is that people whose names are not written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake that burns with sulfur, and they will die the second time. It will be the death of their spirit. Verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And in the spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Now, one of the things we know from earlier readings is that the bride of Christ, the bride of the Lamb, the wife of the Lamb, is the church. Now, you might think, well, which church? I mean, there's lots of churches. There's lots of different sects and denominations and so on. Well, I've got to tell you, it's none of them. The true bride of Christ will be the people who are doing as he taught, doing the things that he spoke, who have listened to Christ and are doing what is right in the sight of God. These are the people who will form the bride of Christ. And we know that even in that very evil last church that's described earlier in Revelation, the one that's called Babylon, that church will have some of his people in it, because he says, come out from her, my people, lest you share in her plagues and in her judgments. And so there are people in all of the churches who will be members of Christ's bride, who will be part of the bride of Christ, the true church, the church that is the bride of Christ. But he goes on and describes what the bride is like. And in the spirit, he carried me away. And I'm reading verse 10 now in Revelation 21. And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now you just look at this description of this city, and we see that it had the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel on the gates. So that's the first thing. It's the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this is spiritual Israel. It's not just physical Israel. But also the foundations of this city was founded on the teachings that were spread throughout the world by the 12 apostles, because the 12 foundations had on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So this is clearly telling us that this Jerusalem, which is called the Bride of Christ here, is the church. It is the people of God. This is who the bride of the Lamb is. In verse 15, it goes on. And he who talked to me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its breadth. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and breadth and height are equal. He also measured its walls, 144 cubits by man's measure, that is an angel's. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. How magnificent and how beautiful will this place be? when he uses these descriptors, all gold and jewels and precious gems and pearls and things like that. And he's talking about the beauty of the people because, yes, there is the city of Jerusalem. There is also the people who will live in that city, and they are the bride of Christ. They are all together the bride of Christ. And he goes on, he says in verse 22, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb." So there is no churches as such. There is no temples. There are no places of worship because the place of worship is not about the place of worship. It's about the persons whom we worship, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. That's why there's no temple there. We can go and we can stand directly in front of Jesus and in front of God Almighty because it says God will dwell with men and men will dwell with him in his kingdom, in this holy city. So we can go directly to them and you can go and stand and you can worship and praise and you can ask questions and do all sorts of things that you can't do today. Verse 23, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." So here is the light of the city. By its light, and the light that we're talking about here is the light of the knowledge of what is good, of what is holy, of what is right. "By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And its gates shall never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there." So there's no night. It'll never be shut by day. So that means the gates are always open. You're always able to go to and fro into the city and into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and into the presence of God in this final kingdom after everything has been completed on this earth. And this is obviously, as I said earlier, in the new heavens and the new earth. "And they shall bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean shall enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Now, you look at some of the things that were called abomination under the law, and there were many things that were abominable under the law. I mean, all forms of sin are abomination, but there are other abominations. Witchcraft, warlocks and things like that were called abominations. Homosexuality was called an abomination under the law. Adultery was abomination. All those sorts of things who were abominations. And it's saying anyone who practices these things will not enter into God's city. And it's important that we understand that. And for ourselves, wherever we stand ourselves, with whatever abominations that exist within ourselves, and I'm talking about all forms of sin as an abomination now, all forms of uncleanness, whatever it might be, you know, telling a lie, that's an abomination in the sight of God. May not call it that in the under the law, but any form of sin is an abomination before God because he is perfect. So anything that's unclean, anyone who is unclean, will never enter into this kingdom. And we go on, moving now to Revelation chapter 22. "Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the fruit and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." Now, this is an amazing thing itself, because no one has ever seen the face of God. But here we see in this kingdom, in the new kingdom, in the kingdom of God, we shall be able to see his face, and his name will be on our foreheads. So this is amazing. Verse 5, "And night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign for ever and ever." And this is eternal. The reign of God, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal, and we will live with him if we do what he asks of us now, if we follow Jesus Christ. When God the Father said to Peter, James, and John in the Transfiguration, he said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And that's what we need to do. We need to listen to him, listen to Christ. And he said in verse 6, and he said, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Now, one of the things that I've learned a long time ago is God wants his people to know what's going on. He gave us all of these prophecies many, many years ago, written down in the Bible. And he gave us all of the signs that were written into books like Revelation and Daniel and other books. He gave us all of this information so that we would know what is going on. And we must listen to these things. We must listen and watch the signs. And he continues to now. He gives us prophecy now so that his people can understand what is happening in the world today. And we see there are many people who are confused. They don't know what's going on in the world. Governments can't fix it. No one can fix it on this earth because the will of God is being unfolded and the prophecies that were said 2,000 years ago and more are coming to pass now, these prophecies of the end time. But we know this, and as Christians, instead of being despondent and in despair like the people of the world when they see all of the disasters and all the things happening around the world, we should look up and look to Christ, because we know that these things were meant to happen and they were happening in this time, and they are pointers, they are indicators that his return is very, very soon. And we see then in verse 7, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, and this is John who was one of the apostles, I, John, am he who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. Now, this is a very important teaching that he's giving us here. This is what the angel's saying. He fell down. John fell down to worship at the feet of the angel. But look what the angel says in verse 9. But he said to me, you must not do that. You must not do that. We don't worship angels. We have not been called to worship angels. We worship Christ. We worship God. We do not worship angels. And I know there are many teachings out there, there are many people out there who are worshiping angels. They look to angels. And I've seen books written about it and things like that. It is wrong. The Bible here tells us, the angel tells us, he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brethren, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. This is the direct information, instruction from the angel who was showing all of these things to John. He said, no, don't worship me. I'm just a servant like you. He said, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. So he's saying, all of these people are going to do these things. If they're doing good, great. If they're doing evil, leave them to their own devices. We need to preach the word. Those who will come will come. Those who the Lord has his hand on will come. But those who choose to continue to do evil and won't listen to the truth, won't listen to the words of God, leave them alone. They're going to do what they're going to do regardless. Behold, verse 12, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And that's important. And we see sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, all of these people, everyone who loves and practices falsehood will be outside. You know, they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. And that is the last book of the Bible. Now, even though that end bit there sounds like an ending, it's actually a beginning, because it may be the ending of this world and this life as we know it, but it's the beginning of the eternal life and the eternal kingdom, where all will be good. And this is what we're aspiring to. As Christians, this is what our hope is, that we will be able to have part in that final kingdom, that we'll be able to live with Christ and with God, that we will have the right to the tree of life. And so I say to you now, spend a few moments in prayer to just ask him what you need to do, what we need to do to be able to have entry into his kingdom. So this is the end for this Salvation Road journey. I'm going to be looking at something different in the next series of podcasts that I do. This is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off, and I hope that you join me again next week when we start something completely new, something other than this Salvation Road journey. Until then, may you be with the Lord always, and may the Lord help you to see the things that he wants you to see. God bless you.